Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And this week we dive into some new stuff from Psychic Awakenings. The Greater Good is the next book that's on its way, and Games Workshop has obliged with a few previews today, much to the great consternation of those who do not like Tau. So very interesting. We'll go over those in great depth. We've had a few tournaments, not a whole lot this week, as we kind of that lull at the beginning of the season. Most of us are still trying to recover from LVO, and those who went at least. But also saw a lot of the feedback in terms of analysis after the fact and list breakdowns and all that sort of thing of what happened at this past Las Vegas Open to end the season. So there's a lot of additional intrigue that we'll touch on as well during this week. But first, let's talk about the new stuff, Ray. Shadow Sun has been, some rules are finally unveiled. We've seen the figure, but we got to look at some rules finally.
Yeah. So the first thing they bring up is that basically she's got a new version of the XV-22 Stalker battle suit. Big thing that got previewed was new versions of guns for her. And apparently you can actually pick which weapons. It's not just static. So we've got the Dispersed Fusion Blaster and the High Energy Fusion Blaster. It looks like you can take two of either one or one of each, at least by reading the article. And here's her stats. So the Dispersed Fusion Blaster has a range of 18, Assault 2, Strength 7, AP minus 4, D3 damage. When resolving an attack made with this weapon against a unit that is within half range, roll one additional D3 when inflicting damage with it and discard one of the dice. Now, the High Energy Fusion Blaster is similar, but different. It's got a range of 24, it's Assault 1, Strength 8, AP minus 4, D6 damage. And when resolving an attack made with this weapon against a unit that is within half range, roll an additional D6 when inflicting damage with it and discard one dice.
So curious between the two. One, the dispersed one, they describe as kind of being the Marine Hunter version. And I can see that because if you're, especially if you're close range and you're rolling your D3 damages, you're going to be fishing for those twos to knock out, Primaris Marines. And you also get an extra shot being Assault 2. That's kind of nice. That was not an option on the last gun, so that's pretty cool. The bigger one is definitely more for anti-tank. You're kind of closer to the original stat line, but it's that precious strength 8, which is essential. So you're going to get in close, wounding on 4s on most vehicles, if not mostly on 3s. Minus 4 most vehicles, except for your demon weapons, and don't have an armor save beyond against that rather than an invul save. And then, of course, if you're in close range, you're rolling 2d6. The interesting thing, you choose one of the results as opposed to choosing the highest, but I can't think of a time when you would not want to roll the highest. But anyway, interesting little options there. And I have no idea on point costs if these guns are interchangeable at the same point cost or not.
Yeah, they don't explain there. But the next thing is that the shield drones have now been replaced with advanced guardian drones. All we know about them is the following. This model has a 4+ invuln save. When a friendly Tau Empire model would lose a wound while within 3 inches of this model, roll 1d6. On a 6, that wound is not lost.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's a very different phrasing from a shield drone.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if we're going to be seeing changes in how the drones' rules are as they stand currently.
I don't know. So basically kind of the big difference is that nowhere does it say here that has any savior protocols listed. So you're not passing this off, so you're not wounding Shadow Sun and passing it off to the Guardian drone. It's doing the exact opposite. Basically, the Guardian drone has a 4 invul to keep itself in play. But basically just gives any Tau unit within 3 inches of this model 6 of feel no pain.
Yeah.
So interesting. And I wonder if you could work with that in conjunction with shield drones. So like I get hit 6 times. Statistically, 5 of those will go to the shield drones. One of them will hit me. I won't be able to pass it off because I'll fail on a one. And now I've got to feel no pain from this guardian field to keep me in the game.
So I could see that being the case for a while and then them FAQing it.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a new overlap or what's going on here. It's interesting. So curious to see as this comes out.
Yeah, there is one more little thing that they posted, and that is the rule, the Supreme Commander. This model
can this is be, not a little thing.
this model can be included in a Tau Empire detachment without preventing other units in the detachment from gaining a Sept Tenant, which is something we'll be seeing for them coming in Psychic Awakening book. Note, however, that this model does not benefit from any Sept Tenant unless the Sept Tenant selected for that detachment is Coordinated Fire Arcs. So we already know the name, at least, of one of these Sept Tenants.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the names were from the original Codex. But basically, long story short, what this says is, a lot of Xenos players are probably feeling the same way. This character is great, but he only belongs to one, for lack of a better term, chapter. You can put Shadow Sun in any Tau set. Now, she doesn't gain any of the powers unless she's in her native group there, which I think is Tau Sept. So that's where she gets the Coordinated Fire Arcs. But you can mix and match her all over the place, including, and this has to be an oversight, but I guess there's probably some fictional way you can make this work. You can put her in the same detachment as Farsight. So this makes her pretty amazing in that she can be placed into pretty much any Tau army. So I'm very curious to see what this is coming up. I haven't seen any hints if we're going to get the Build Your Own Tau Sept. I wouldn't be surprised if we do. But we did get a mention, at least, that we haven't seen in the rules. For those of you who are like me and a Farsight junkie, the eight, so his chosen bodyguard there for Farsight, did get a rules update in this particular book. So we'll see what that looks like, hopefully, before the end of the week.
Yeah, we'll find out and maybe even see some new stuff for Gene Stealer Cult. I did see that they said that we'd be seeing updates for Tau, Gene Stealer Cult, Guard, and Tempestus Scions. Or I think they call it Ordo Tempestus in there. Which is kind of neat because when it comes to Guard, I kind of like them more than Guard itself. So if they make it where you can kind of run the Tempestus by themselves and give it some sort of added, you know, benefit, I think that'd be neat.
It would be pretty neat. And for your Gene Stealer Cult players, one thing they did reveal, at least at this point, there will be no new models, but the Color Morph will be available by itself as opposed to having to buy the gigantic Kill Team package. So it's finally available in a blister pack. So I think that'd be nice to see that. Just obviously seeing him more on the table moving forward.
It only took about a year.
Which seems to be about their MO, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Meanwhile, Inari players are still complaining. Can't buy any of those models individually. Have to buy them as a triumvirate. So,
to be fair, if you were to have to buy any of the Inari by themselves, it would be 44... either the regular ones, and I'd be willing to bet that the Incarn would probably be 60 by itself. So
it's entirely possible. So I'll take a look at that. A little bit of fluff note real quick, a little lore. Maybe I fell asleep on this, but I was not aware of this. So they mentioned with the backstory when it comes to Shadow Sun here that she went on a mission. So we all knew that the fourth expansion of the Tau Empire failed miserably, and then they're now in the middle of the fifth expansion. Well, apparently, while on the fifth expansion, Shadow Sun found the remains of the fourth expansion and looked to save them. And apparently they got into a nifty little tangle with Death Guard, which it did hint at some of the web-based fiction that you can download, some of the short stories, where they defended the Star-Tide Nexus from the Death Guard. So interesting that they somehow rescued the fourth sphere of expansion, and now they've got the fifth sphere continuing to advance. So pretty cool stuff there. But those of you who were astute and went back to the Facebook page, as opposed to just going to the Warhammer community page, found an extra Easter egg from Games Workshop.
Ooh, I missed this.
That is a new stratagem. What's that?
I missed this.
Yes, you did. And you're pretty fortunate if you did. Maybe it was just a horrible fever dream, but it appears to be real. So on their Facebook page, a new stratagem was released for the Tau. And real simple, you know, gift from the Earthcast. Basically, for one CP, if you've got a random number of shots for a particular weapon, no worry, it automatically maxes out. So at first that sounds, oh, okay, until you start factoring the bane of all things competitive when it comes to 40K, Forge World units. And I'm trying to log on real quick because I can never get these crazy crisis suits, the big ones. So there's the Avara, and then there's not the Super Tuna, but basically the alternate Riptide-sized ones. One of them has a crazy magma pulse rifle that's 3D3 shots, and he's got two of them. So automatically, it's going to be like 9 shots, and it does a ridiculous amount of damage, and then it also does mortal wounds on top of its damage on top of that. I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. So curious to see if that was just an oversight. They forgot about it or whatnot. We know Games Workshop is redoing all the Forge World books, but holy cow, it just would make that unit ridiculously powerful. So in the stratagem, right in the comments, the guy actually posed a Warhammer 40K. Did you actually look at this? And the Warhammer 40K guy starts trolling him, and which is why I kind of begin to wonder, is this for real?
Do you remember what the guy actually said? Because I'm seeing a few different things. Crap ton of replies. Someone posted this up. James Hughes posted 40K players on Facebook. This is OP. Also 40K players. And then he shows a picture of Forge World, where he's buying 3 Yavara battle suits.
All right. So the name of the stratagem: Modulated Weaponry. In case you guys come across it, let me read it verbatim. So there's no confusion that Uncle Eric isn't leading you astray. So the use of stratagem in your shooting phase when a sept model other than a Titanic model from your army is chosen to shoot with. Until the end of that phase, do not roll to determine the type characteristics of heavy weapons. Ah, it's different. Of the models equipped with. They have their maximum values. For example, a heavy D6 weapons always has D6 shots. So when you look at the Avara battle suit, for example, and you start rocking their plasma, I guess, phased plasma flamer. And when you've, granted, you have to get your Nova reactor going, and it's only an 8-inch range, but it is 3d6 shots. So it does a minimum of 18 strength 6, AP minus 2, 3 damage wounds. That's pretty nasty. Not impressed. That's okay. How about the Ionic Discharge Cannon, 12-inch range? Heavy 3d3, so that means with this stratagem, it's automatic 9 shots. Strength 10, AP minus 3, 3 damage. When targeting an enemy vehicle, the vehicle suffers d3 mortal wounds in addition to all other damage for each wound roll of a 6 made by this weapon. So statistically, should be doing between probably 1.5 wounds, probably. Well, if you're hitting on, depending on how many marker lights you got. So, ow. Yeah, and that's battle suit monster. Yeah, it does not have the Titanic keyword. So, henceforth, if you have a Forge World, should be inundated with orders for this thing. Pretty, pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, there's a Tau stratagem where you can roll on the Nova Charge twice.
I believe so.
Dual effects. Yep. So you overcharge it once for the weapons, and then at the start of the movement phase, you remove the model from play and set up anywhere on the battlefield more than 9 inches away from an opponent, opposing model. That's pretty nasty. Or just give it a 3-up invul. So if you have your Yavara battlesuit, consider yourself fortunate. They're about to, or you can just put it on eBay and pay for college. So lots to look forward to, I guess. And so we move forward into the, I'm definitely excited about the 8. I'm curious to see what other fun stuff the Tau is going to get. Also, Gene Stealer Cult. Let's be honest, they need a little bit of help. They're kind of at the bottom of the pile right now. And so curious to see what additional fun they get as well from this book. So after the break, Ray and I will break down the tournament action from last weekend. We'll be back right after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
We are back after the break and going into one of our, well, only one tournament to talk about this past weekend. So, but interesting enough, the top players never rest as big guns never tire. So we go over to Indianapolis, Indiana for which, what is the event again?
Chaos Storm GT.
What's our top five look like here, right?
All right. In fifth place, we had Ryan Snyder playing Adeptus Custodes. In fourth, Tyler White playing Chaos. Third, we had Aaron Along playing Adeptus Astartes. Daniel Sansone made second with Raven Guard. And in first, Colin McDade playing Adeptus Astartes.
Ray, you made an interesting observation about the top 15 of this particular tournament.
Yeah, half of them were either directly playing a Space Marine chapter or playing an Adeptus Astartes list.
So, helpful hint right now, if you are trying to design an army, you need to find a way to be able to defeat Marines, because that seems to be the flavor of the month at the moment. Before we also get into the individual winning lists, interesting, I love Aaron Along's team, Weaponized Judges. I wonder if that's a reference back to his experience at LVO this past week.
Maybe.
So, don't know the exact details, but I do know, was able to confirm, he missed both his deadlines for turning in his list on time. So started the tournament with two yellow cards, as promised, on the Frontline Gaming website. Ooh. And then some, yeah, and then, well, during the course of the game, course of the weekend, incurred a third and final yellow card, which resulted in a red card. Thank you for coming.
Oh, he got, I didn't
0 hear
about
points
that.
For playing. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what he got the yellow card for, so I don't really want to speculate. But, yeah, he already started the tournament with only two yellow cards to start. So when a TL posts, you need to turn in your list, you might want to mark that on your calendar.
Yeah.
Anyway, the winning team here with winning player, I should say, it's Colin McDade. And looking at his list, he starts with a surprise, surprise, Iron Hand Successor Chapter. So he also took a Specialist Attachment, made him Indominus Crusaders. That's coming out of the Vigilus Defiant book. So real quick, his first battalion is Iron Father and a Primaris Lieutenant. Pretty bare bones, just with the Power Sword. Two units of 10 Intercessors, one unit of 5. Of course, the Sergeant is armed with a Thunderhammer, and everyone's armed with Stalker Bolt Rifles. In the lead slot, he also has an Apothecary. So he has a great way of bringing all those guys back to life later in the game. Second battalion is also an Iron Hands battalion, starting with a captain with Power Axe and Storm Bolter, and a chaplain, Venerable Dreadnought, with Litany of Hate and Litany of Faith, twin las cannons, and a Dreadnought close combat weapon, and the obligatory Storm Bolter. Three units of 5 intercessor squads, and same thing, sergeants are armed out with a Thunderhammer, and everyone else with a Stalker Bolt Rifle. And then his third detachment is a Spearhead, which just want to make sure. Yep, more Iron Hands. Chaplain Venerable Dreadnought in the command spot. And then three units of 3 Eliminators. Love Relic, Leviathan Dreadnought. And, of course, you wouldn't leave home without it, Thunderfire Cannon.
Not a bad list.
So, not a bad list. A lot of what we've seen before. So there's a lot of stratagems in play. So Iron Father's going to most likely take the Ironstone and sit next to one of the two dreadnoughts we discussed earlier, one of the Chaplain dreadnoughts or the Relic Leviathan one, so he can keep him up and going much longer. The other one, he's got two options. He's got a ton of intercessors, so there's a way, there's a stratagem, you put that on there, and on a 2+, any wounds to the dreadnought get passed off to the Primaris Marines, just like a shield drone. Or you put on this other stratagem, and it halves all damage coming in. Or you could just play both if you wanted to. So there's a lot of resiliency in those dreadnoughts. The idea is to keep the dreadnoughts, and especially with the chaplain abilities, keep the engine running, and they do a lot of the heavy lifting. The eliminators, as well as the Thunderfire Cannon, give you lots of line of shooting that does not require a line of sight. And also the eliminator squads give you a great way of plucking off those annoying characters. So if your opponent's relying on buffs or psychic powers, you can pick them off. And with 9 of those snipers, it's pretty easy to put out some serious damage. So, yep. Pretty much, we've seen a couple of these type of lists when we talked about LVO last weekend. So pretty much a pretty strong list and very very popular right now. So make sure you have a plan to counter that. Daniel Sansone also went undefeated this particular event, came in second with a Raven Guard list. Quick look at his list here. It's actually a Build Your Own chapter, Raven Guard. So it's a Raven Guard successor chapter featuring Hungry for Battle and Long Range Marksman. In the first battalion, he's got a captain in Phobos armor with camel cloak and mastercrafted bolt carbine or carbine. I never know what is the correct pronunciation of that. I'm not sure.
I've always said carbine.
I've heard both. That's why I don't know. So he's got the captain in Phobos armor, a chaplain, 1, 2, 3 infiltrator squads of 5. And then a second battalion rounds out with storm shield. Yep, good old... Storm Shield, Thunderhammer, Captain, Lieutenant, and then 3 units of regular scouts. So not the, and then he's, there we go. This is what we've been looking for. Not 1, not 2, but 3 blobs. So 1, 2, 3, 4. 3 units of 5 Assault Centurions with Hurricane Bolters and Flamers. And then in the heavy support slot, he's got a Devastator Centurion block of with Grav Cannon and Grav Amps, and 2 Thunderfire Cannons.
Those Thunderfire Cannons are very popular right now.
They're the most used single unit at Las Vegas Open two weekends ago. So, very popular because you have multiple firing options. You have an option to shoot it twice. And there's another stratagem. So, if you're worried about a fast-moving list, take you over. What you do is you play that first. And then every shot, even if you double shoot it, every time you do a shot, your opponent... I can't remember if you're hit or wounded. I'm pretty sure if when you're hit, half movement, no advance, half your charge distance.
Ew.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Looking at this squad, this list, he's using a lot of the scouts. He puts them out as bait. So you're thinking, okay, I can take advantage of this. He's deployed them too far forward. It's a trap because... What happens is you slingshot your units forward, chew up some scouts, Primaris ones called again? Infiltrators. And you think to yourself, ha-ha, I've got Killmore on turn 1, or I've already got First Blood for Old School or something like that. The problem is now that you are forward, he can now countercharge with his Assault Centurions, who normally are slower than dirt. They got a 4-inch move. So now they're moving up and counter-assaulting. And in some cases, they don't even have to counter-assault. If you're not willing to take the bait on the eliminator squads, they just sit back and go ahead. And unless you have a way to mitigate Overwatch, you're going to be eating close to 10 flamers. So on average, we'll say 3 hits. So that's, can you absorb 30 flamer hits per squad that you charge? My guess is you probably can't, not without taking some serious damage. So... that is how that list works. So it just kind of sits there and goes, ha-ha, go ahead and make your move. And if you don't make a move, all the long-range firepower and the eliminators take you off from a distance, even if you don't have line of sight.
That seems like a good list.
So that is, it's a pretty good list. So, and it's pretty much the MO that we saw throughout Las Vegas. And so Again, the only hope I can think of, because everybody reminds, Games Workshop was on site. The rules team was on site for Las Vegas, and they saw exactly what was happening. So hopefully some adjustments will be coming down the pike in short order. Timetable is pretty tight. Season starting up. Our event is coming up in about 6 weeks. Adepticon is the week after. So we got two large events right there in the middle and end of March. So if something needs to come out and make that rules deadline, it needs to do so in the next 4 weeks. So we'll see what happens. That is all the tournament news from this weekend. A couple leagues have started up and a couple of tournaments that did not make their GT numbers. But I'm sure that will change once the season gets in the full swing. Brian, anything else to add?
I don't think so.
All right. All right, that is your tournament coverage for this week. After the break, we'll get into events for next week and a little bit of discussion on what looks like to be the future of 40K moving forward. Be back right after this. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert and use a unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the Mad Men of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. All right, welcome back after the break. So a couple key things that have been brought up on the internet to make sure you guys are well aware. There was supposedly a mission pack from the ITC of all kinds of new secondaries being listed. That was actually a rough draft that was mistakenly leaked from the tournament organizer's page. So please disregard that. Nothing has been officially uploaded or changed. There's still a lot of speculation, and that Facebook page, if you're not a tournament organizer, is a great place to join if you are a tournament organizer, but it is meant to be a closed group so they can kind of operate and kind of talk freely about their ideas without having 1,001 players kind of berating them on every little idea. So yeah, unfortunately, something got leaked from that page and was mistaken as to be an official document. That's not the case. It was just one guy's ideas, and some of them were pretty good. So if you guys have ideas how to change or any changes you'd like to see to the mission pack for ITC, make sure to hit us up on our Facebook page for that. Second thing to be aware of, and it's kind of part of the fun of this one, is those armies that did well against the Scourge, that is the Space Marine Iron Hands Raven Guard disaster, and a couple players that have done really well have something in common. And so I just want to share some of my insights. We heard from Jim Russell last week. So first of all, I was like, why the heck should I listen to you? He says, well, if I can do this, somebody who listens to this podcast can probably do a heck of a lot better, because I came in with like complaining about easily not getting enough practice, but the core of the list worked and I'm really excited. So I can show you what worked and what didn't work. So number one, Iron Hands, what makes them really nasty is the stacking of doctrines. So in Devastator mode, they get additional -1 AP. And then you get the heavy weapons, get additional, I think, -1, and then a reroll ones to hit. And don't count as, you don't need to move and shoot. So it makes them without a penalty. So with my army, I end up playing Drukhari. Everything in my list has some sort of invul save. So I loved how every player I played would be like, ah, you just got took 7 wounds at like -31. I'm like, okay, 4 up invul, 5 up invul. And he's paying extra points for those, and I'm just sloughing them off. Additionally, they would also have a lot of high damage weapons. Everything in my army has a feel no pain save. Granted, most of it's only a 6 up, but it still works. And just like the Space Marine Apothecary, I took a lot of Coven's units. So they have a high toughness near a Homunculus. And then for one command point, I can heal D3 wounds on any unit of Grotesque or Talos. So I usually push those forward, and usually that's what's on the table. So they're having to shoot those in the early rounds, which allows me to survive the Alpha Strike. In later rounds, that's when the spindlier stuff comes down. That was another thing that most players were caught by surprised, is that Drakari have this nifty little stratagem called Screaming Jets, which means I can put a vehicle in deep strike. And if it's a transport, the guy's inside going to deep strike with the vehicle for one command point. And unlike the Webway Strike, where it's one unit in deep strike or two units for one CP or two units for three CP, you can do this as many times as long as you obey the no more than half your units and no more than half your points are in reserve. That comes in real handy. You can't shoot me when I'm in reserve. Now, the big mistake I made, and I got to LVO, and one of my teammates like, why didn't you do this? And I'm like, oh, couldn't figure out how to make the points work, and it came back to haunt me. And that is, you can put Yvraine into pretty much any Eldari army without breaking any of your chapter tactics, for lack of a better term. What's the big deal with Cat Lady? Cat Lady has an aimable smite. On average, does D3 mortal wounds. It's easy to cast because it's got her plus one there with the little cat there. But even on a six, it does D6 mortal wounds. Doesn't matter what you cast. You just roll the die. Roll a D6. 2 through 5, D3 mortal wounds. And on a six, it does D6. And like I said, it's aimable. It's not like you have to hit the closest one. Any visible unit within 18 inches of the caster. That is your best option for sniping out characters if you're going to be playing one of these lists. So though I did not have that in my list, that came back to bite me. God, I hate Chapter Masters and Iron Fathers and healing all these dreadnoughts that I was plinking off weapons on left and right. It was really annoying. But interesting enough, if you don't believe my success, there's actually, if you notice, quite a few Harlequin lists that went 5-1 at LVO. Why is that? Let's take a look real quick. Invul saves up the wazoo? Absolutely. Care less about your Space Marines with your Devastator Doctrines. They also pretty much have the fly keyword without having the fly keyword, which means that all that nifty terrain that they talked about on the top 100 tables, they can bypass all those hills, so they can move up, hide for one turn, and then jump over the hill, probably even avoiding Overwatch, and then beating up on all those characters, as well as Centurions and whatnot. They have a lot of access to fusion pistols, which are high AP. A lot of those dreadnoughts do not have an invul save. Okay, fine, you're doing half damage. I'm still doing D6 damage with, I don't know, six pistols. Bang. Yeah. See, you could hear Dreadnought in the background dying as we speak. So you're seeing a lot with, and then on top of it, you got the Haywire bikes that can also help take out a lot of stuff. Oh, you're taking half damage? Great. Minimum of one. You just took 14 mortal wounds for my Haywire bikes. So you start to see some of those lists start popping up a little more often in your local meta, in addition to just ways to counter this Space Marine menace until something changes. So there we go. There's a little food for thought. We'll make predictions. See how that grows on the next few tournaments as they come down the pike. Meanwhile, Ray, what events do we got coming up next weekend?
All right, we've got the Priority Orders ITC event at the Brighton Railway Club in England. There's the
That's Wheat. That's a cool name for a tournament.
Not bad. The Wheat City Open 2020 GT/Major at the Canada Room at Keystone Center in Brandon, Manitoba. There's the 40K Brawl, Beachhead Brawl at the BIC in England. There is Captain Con ITC Grand Tournament at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Warwick, Rhode Island. The
Love the name of that. Captain Con.
The Canhammer Team Tournament at the EY Center in Ottawa, Ontario. All right, and it looks like that's actually the last one.
Alrighty then. So as mentioned, if you got some ideas for changes you'd like to see in the ITC missions, whether it be the primaries, the secondaries, or some of the pregame shenanigans determining who goes first, make sure to put those on our Facebook page. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.